You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
The same old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day, my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
I'll see if I can croon as well as you. Hello to the people.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it a croon, but it's solid. I would say you're closer to Scott Stapp than Frank Sinatra.
I was aiming for Richard Cheese.
I mean, I guess you're closer to that. Okay, you're closer to Richard Cheese than you are to Paul Anka. How's that?
I'll take it.
I wonder how many people listening to the show understand any of these references at this point. It's a beautiful, beautiful day to be together with you once again, Brain, talking a little Miami Dolphins football. The studio remains under construction on my end, so still not quite there yet, so still in an unusual location, but still excited to be with you here today talking Miami Dolphins. Lots to talk about as we are live on a Monday night on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Shout out to everybody watching us live on YouTube and the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. Recommend that you join both of those places. Subscribe, hit the like button. Like this video, we appreciate it very much. Turn on notifications so you know when we go live every time on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. But yeah, lots to talk about, Brain. Since last we recorded, the Dolphins played their final preseason game. They have begun cutting players from their roster. They have extended Zach Sealer. And they remain engaged as of this moment, according to our sources. The Dolphins remain engaged right now in negotiations with the Indianapolis Colts for a possible trade for Jonathan Taylor. So very, very exciting. Lots going on. We're going to get into all of that here on the show today. But a reminder, if you're not doing so already, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We invite you to download, rate, review, and subscribe to every episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcast. We appreciate it very much. And make sure you visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And over there right now, you can catch the interview that Mike Oliva did earlier on Monday with Zig Fricassi of Sirius NFL Radio, talking about all the latest news regarding the Miami Dolphins. You want to check that out as well. So, Brain, let's get into it. I think we should start with Zach Sealer, because I think that that's probably the biggest news as we move forward here, because it has a number of wide-reaching implications. So, first of all, the Miami Dolphins announced on Monday morning, it was Sunday morning, they announced that Zach Sealer had been extended, they'd reached an agreement, 3 years, $38.65 million. So the Dolphins signing Zach Sealer, I think one of the things that people had been thinking about in terms of the Dolphins, in terms of extending a couple of these big defensive tackles, we thought there was Zach Sealer needed to get paid and Christian Wilkins needed to get paid. And I think there was, I don't know if it was a complete consensus, but I think most people, most fans of the Dolphins thought, yeah, I think we're going to probably end up paying Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer, we're probably not going to pay him. What we find here is that the Dolphins signed Zach Sealer to a very reasonable extension, 3-year contract worth up to $38.65. And as of yet, have not yet reached an agreement with Christian Wilkins. Now, before we get into what this means for Christian Wilkins, because there was some new reporting on Monday about the Christian Wilkins situation, let's first get your reaction, Brain, to the fact that the Miami Dolphins have gone ahead and signed the extension with Zach Seeler.
Well, kind of hard to separate those two things, but if you're just looking in a vacuum on just this contract with Zach Seeler, look, it's a great deal. Zach Seeler has been a vastly underrated piece of this puzzle, has been one of the best run-stopping defensive linemen in the league in many cases, in many ways, very similar to Christian Wilkins. Maybe not quite as dynamic, not as high a ceiling as Christian Wilkins, but the two in tandem with each other have made the interior defensive line of the Miami Dolphins, one of the best run-stopping defensive lines over the past couple of seasons. And so I think this is actually a kind of a bargain for Zach Seeler. I think most people, when you look at how these defensive tackles, these interior defensive linemen have been getting paid this offseason, I think most people would have said, well, Christian Wilkins probably going to get somewhere right around $20 million a year. Zach Seeler probably going to get somewhere around maybe $14, $15 million a year. And in that case, if the consensus was that Christian Wilkins was going to get signed, then Zach Seeler, you're probably not going to pay that much to two interior defensive linemen, particularly with, all the other guys that need to be figured out here over the next year or so with the Dolphins from a cap standpoint. But in a vacuum, again, great deal. I think, Zach Seeler definitely deserves it. And I think the Dolphins are going to get great value out of this signing. So I think it's a good signing in a vacuum.
Yeah, I mean, well, in a vacuum, yes. Now, when the signing was announced, I believe it was Ian Rappaport said that the Dolphins had been in negotiations with Christian Wilkins for months regarding an extension and couldn't get a deal done, couldn't reach an agreement. And so the Dolphins turned their attention to Zach Seeler, and they made this deal, it seems like, in relatively short order. So the question is, was this a negotiating tactic from the Dolphins where they were like, listen, we've made an offer and, we've made our offer and Wilkins doesn't want to come along with it. So now they're playing a little bit of hardball and turning the other cheek. I think there was an interesting report that came out this afternoon from Marcel Louis-Jacques. He said on the Big O podcast, he reported, it's no big secret that Wilkins has an offer on the table from the Dolphins, and I'm almost confident enough to call it a final offer from Miami. The ballpark is right in line with what the other defensive linemen have been paid. It's not Ed Oliver money, but it's right in line with Jeffrey Simmons and Dexter Lawrence. I think it's a situation where his, meaning Wilkins' team, wants to set the market. So let's give you a little frame of reference here. Jeffrey Simmons, the Tennessee Titans, gave him a four-year extension worth $94 million. And Dexter Lawrence got a four-year $90 million extension from the New York Giants. So that's the kind of money that we're talking about. And, if you had asked me, I would have said that that's right about where the Dolphins probably wanted to get with Christian Wilkins. And I would have thought that that's probably a fair amount. But Christian Wilkins' team is evidently suggesting that that kind of money isn't enough. Now, we should definitely mention that we don't know that that is, in fact, where the offer is. Maybe the offer comes in actually a little bit lower than those numbers. So we don't know that the Dolphins' offer is right on par with those numbers, but it's in the ballpark, right, supposedly. So we don't know the exact figure. But my thinking is that if Jeffrey Simmons or Dexter Lawrence's contract was going to be good enough for Christian Wilkins and the Dolphins came in a little bit lower than that offer, I would think that Christian Wilkins would probably, they would have found a way to make a deal. This, the fact that they have not reached a deal suggests to me that they're just way too far apart on what one party wants and what the other party is willing to give. So that's what leaves us in this situation. Now, Brain, and we're going to get your feedback here in a second, but a couple things that I want to point out, right? So assuming that the Dolphins offer is just about on par or right in the ballpark of those numbers, right? Jeffrey Simmons is a two-time All-Pro. Dexter Lawrence is a Pro Bowler, okay? Christian Wilkins is not. Now, you could argue that he deserved a Pro Bowl shout, perhaps, last season. He did have a very good year. But, you know, while he has performed better and he has been on an upward trajectory in terms of his play, he has not yet put in, you know, those kinds of seasons that has earned him those kinds of accolades at this point in time. And those are the accolades that you can usually, as a player, hold up as a reason to demand that kind of high price point. What we are led to believe here is that Christian Wilkins is demanding kind of market-setting money, which means that he's probably looking for something more in the range of maybe what Quinnen Williams makes. But again, Quinnen Williams, 2022 All-Pro, 2022 Pro Bowl. And is he trying to look even more? Because Quinnen Williams, right, is the second highest, right, defensive tackle in terms of salary, right?
He's correct.
His average pay per year is about $24 million. Are we led to believe that Christian Wilkins is going higher than that? That Christian Wilkins wants something closer to that or close into, you know, I mean, he's certainly not going to get $31 and 2/3 million a year like Aaron Donald is making. So he's certainly not going to get that kind of money. But what would give, what if you're Chris Greer and the Miami Dolphins? And again, this is like the last podcast that's going to jump on Chris Greer's side at any time. But if you're Chris Greer, why would you overpay or give Christian Wilkins that kind of money?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the fact that you have Zach Sealer there kind of, you know, in a very big way, kind of gives you the leverage to not overpay. Because if you didn't have Zach Sealer, you would go, well, we really, really need to keep Christian Wilkins because we have no one close to him. But you do have Zach Sealer there. So if you get Zach Sealer there and Zach Sealer is willing to take less than $13 million a year and Christian Williams scoffs at $23, $24 million. And we don't know that. We don't know. We know that it's in the ballpark. We don't even really know that. It's being reported that it's in the ballpark. So we don't know what that means. That could mean $19 million a year. That could mean $24 million a year. And it could mean anywhere in between. So we really don't know. And I think that's an important part of this before we jump to any conclusions. But I think most Dolphin fans probably felt like Christian Wilkins was probably going to end up getting somewhere around $20 to $21 million a year, which is right in line with, you know, a tier of defensive tackles that includes, you know, Daron Payne, Dexter Lawrence, Javon Hargrave, Leonard Williams, DeForest Buckner, Chris Jones. Chris Jones makes $20 million but he signed that deal back in 2020.
He's holding in right now anyway.
Yeah. The guys that signed this year, Quinnen Williams, Jeffrey Simmons, Daron Payne, Dexter Lawrence, those guys have all gotten between $22.5 and $24 million a year. And the guaranteed money for Simmons, Payne, and Lawrence is all within $1 million of itself at like 59 or 60 million. Quinnen Williams got an extra $6 or $7 million of guaranteed money. He got $66 million. So, you know, what we don't know is, you know, did the Dolphins offer Christian Williams, you know, in the neighborhood of 20 million?
Christian Wilkins.
What?
Christian Wilkins, not Christian Williams.
Did I say whatever? We don't know this, but you know, let's say the Dolphins offered Christian Wilkins $20 million a year, and you know, $55 million guaranteed, and Christian Wilkins said, "Well, no, I want at the very least, I want to be in line with these other guys," and maybe that's the case. Again, we don't know, but maybe Christian Wilkins said, "Well, I want at least what Quinnen Williams is getting." Well, you can make the argument that Christian Wilkins is as good as Quinnen Williams, but I think most people would disagree with that assessment at this point. And they would say, well, he's kind of in the same ballpark, but until he really shows more of a pass rushing prowess, then most people would probably rather have Quinnen Williams. And I would tend to disagree. I would tend to agree, I would say. I would rather, all things being equal, I would say Quinnen Williams is a little bit better than Christian Wilkins at this point. And so if Christian Wilkins needs to get to that number, and the Dolphins got close to that number, but not at that number, and that's where the disagreement is, well, then I can understand the Dolphins turning around and saying, well, then maybe it makes more sense for us to sign Zach Seeler. And we still hold the cards, really, on this Christian Wilkins thing. Because as I said, and I've kind of seen this coming for months. When the Dolphins franchised Tua Tagovailoa, I felt that, picked up the fifth-year option. I felt like one of the reasons that the Dolphins needed to pick up the fifth-year option on Tua was because they wanted to avoid the potential situation where they would have Tua and Christian Wilkins both going into a contract year and not reaching long-term deals, where then they have to decide who they're going to use the franchise tag on. And that's important because now that that's not the case, the Dolphins could hold that franchise tag. They could do what Baltimore did with Lamar Jackson and use the transitional tag, where you basically, you tag this player, but you give him the option to go negotiate any contract with any team in the league. And if that team comes to an agreement with him, then they just need to offer, you know, whatever the specific trade value is for that tag. And I'm not sure. I know for the quarterback, it was like 2 first-round picks. I don't think that's what it is for a defensive tackle, but it might be a first round pick. So let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Christian Wilkins and let Zach Seeler go? Or would you rather have Zach Seeler and then trade Christian Wilkins for a first round pick?
I mean, it's not in a vacuum. I'm not answering that question in a vacuum, but I mean, I would argue that at this point in time, if the option is trading Christian Wilkins for a first round pick because you don't want to pay him what he's demanding he be paid, I don't have that. I don't think that is a huge loss for me. I hedged a little bit, but I don't think it's a huge loss.
See, and I was fully prepared before I heard this report. I was fully prepared to come onto this podcast and say, look, that Zach Seeler deal is a great deal in a vacuum, but he's a good player. Christian Wilkins is a great player. Give me the great player every day of the week because I can find other good players. And I still kind of believe that, but I also am against the idea of significantly overpaying for a player at that position when you have a viable player that can replace him.
Exactly.
And that, and so like, I'm down to give Christian Wilkins $21, $22 million a year. I've been right at the forefront. Let's make this thing happen. Like, but if this is what is the holdup is, if the holdup hasn't been, which I've thought, if it hasn't been Chris Greer playing hardball and not willing to go over like 18, 19 million a year. But it's in fact Christian Wilkins wanting to quote unquote set the market, which, you know, you've got to be a player that warrants setting the market. The market has already been set by players that are at your caliber. So you like the idea of Christian Wilkins resetting the market on guy, you know, with other guys that have been signed over the last few months that are just as good and in many cases around the league seen as better. It just doesn't make sense. The market has been set. You got to deal with it. Now you can make the argument, well, maybe the Dolphins should have gotten ahead of this and set the market before, but we don't know. We're not in the room for the negotiation. So it's a tricky situation. Here's the thing. We at this point, my understanding of it based on the reporting, and this is after Zach Seeler has already been signed, is that the Dolphins still have this standing offer out. And right now I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, well, is it even prudent to have that standing offer out now that you've just signed Zach Seeler to this contract? Because is it prudent? Let's say the standing offer is for like an APY, annual pay per year of $22 million. And Zach Seeler just signed for a little under $13 million per year. Is it prudent to be spending $35 million per year on two interior defensive linemen?
Well, you can say this. We saw how much the Dolphins missed both those guys during the preseason game against Jacksonville. We saw what it's like when you're missing both of those guys, right? So I would make the argument that it is worth paying Christian Wilkins, particularly now. I think particularly in the context of what the Dolphins are trying to do right now, it is absolutely worthwhile to pay Christian Wilkins and give him an extension that is at market value right now. That makes, and to also sign Zach Seeler and to push those cap problems down the road, because as we know, the Dolphins are looking at a 2-year window right now, and it's the writing is on the wall. The Dolphins are doing everything that they can to win in 2023 and or 2024. And after that, we're looking at having to do a significant teardown to take a step back because of where we are financially. And that is what it is. So you might as well throw all your chips in right now to try to get it done here in 23 and 24. And if that means signing Christian Wilkins, I mean, because the other thing is from the Dolphins' perspective is you actually don't have to extend Christian Wilkins to do that. Because you can keep Christian Wilkins on his current contract and franchise him next year, and you're going to end up being on the hook for a lot less money, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but then his cap number next year would be ridiculous in a year where we're already, even before this Zach Seeler signing, we're going to need to do a lot of maneuvering to get under the cap. And now Zach Seeler, a guy who was not scheduled to be under contract in 2024, is going to have a pretty large cap number. And then sure, if you have to franchise Christian Wilkins next year, then that's going to be a huge cap number. That's going to be like $24 million on a cap number, which yeah, is going to, and that's not to mention that you'll also have Tua going into the, you know, we don't know what Tua is going to look like this year, if he's going to stay healthy, how he's going to play. But if you don't get a long-term deal done with Tua, then he's going to be playing on like a $23 or $24 million cap number sure next year. So there's yeah a lot of moving parts to this. And it's why, and that doesn't, we haven't even gotten into what we talked about on the last show, which was, you know, when we talked about Jonathan Taylor and we talked about the, you know, what happens if you bring in Jonathan Taylor and you pay Jonathan Taylor, you know, the money that needs to be spent on the interior of the offensive line.
Right, right. And that's, and here's what I'll say to close off the Christian Wilkins situation. Then we're going to, transition over to the report about Jonathan Taylor, because that's out there, right? Here's what I'll say, because we're seeing a lot of comments here in the chat as well. Shout out to everybody who's watching live on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. We got John Yunker, who says that Christian Wilkins is a very important part of our defense. He draws so much attention. He makes all around him better. Plus, he's a great team player, not one who plays for himself. He's important to our team. Joe Maxwell says, you need to sign him, please. He's a very good player. I agree with all of that. I love Christian Wilkins as a player. He's a great personality. He's a fantastic addition to the team. And by all accounts, he's an excellent presence in the locker room as well. I love that. And I absolutely believe that he deserves to be paid and he deserves to be extended. And it's something that I would like to see the Dolphins do. I will say, however, that I don't believe that he deserves to be paid better than every defensive tackle in the National Football League. I mean, even if you say, I don't think he deserves Quinnen Williams money. I don't think he deserves $24 million a year. And so while I believe he should be paid, I don't know that he's a player that has at this point proven that he can, that he deserves that kind of market setting money. And again, to be fair, just, you know, to look at it from the Dolphins point of view. And again, I'm not the first in line to defend Chris Greer, but we're also talking about a team that just paid Emmanuel Ogba a lot of money and then watched him fall off a cliff. So, you know, not to defend anybody. And yeah, you know, and Cap for Life wants to hold up the 4 sacks in 3 years or whatever it is for Christian Wilkins. I mean, it's a fair argument, and I'm certain, and it's surely an argument that is being made to argue down the negotiations, but the point remains. I like Christian Wilkins. He deserves to be paid, but he doesn't deserve to be paid top dollar at the position. It's just not something that he has earned at this point. And that's just my opinion. If you believe differently, let us know in the comments. Tell us. Holler at us. Now, Brain, we've got some other things to talk about. We transitioned to it. We touched on it very lightly there for a moment about the trade rumors that are out there in the world. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody that football season is upon us, and BetUS is the official betting partner of DolphinsTalk.com. So we encourage you to go over to BetUS.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk. You will receive a 125% sign-up bonus. So that's a little bonus cash to splash around and make your first wager of the season, perhaps maybe your first wager ever. We love BetUS. We thank you. We thank them for supporting us and ask that you will support them as well over at BetUS.com. Again, promo code DolphinsTalk. Take advantage of that 125% sign-up bonus, and maybe you can put in a bet, perhaps, of where is Jonathan Taylor likely to land? And that is the question. There was a report earlier today that the Indianapolis Colts remain engaged with two teams about a possible Jonathan Taylor trade. The negotiations are with two teams. One is the Miami Dolphins. We don't know who that other team is. I've heard rumors that it could be the Buffalo Bills. I've heard rumors that it could be the Minnesota Vikings, but have no information as of recording time on Monday evening who that mystery team is. But we know that the Dolphins are still engaged in negotiations. Now, it sounds like, again, just like the deal is with Christian Wilkins, the Dolphins have a number or have an offer out there that they are not willing to sweeten beyond a certain point. So it's really going to be a matter of what the Colts decide they want to do. If they decide that they want to get something for Jonathan Taylor in this situation, this is like the best case scenario for them, right? This, if he's decided that he wants to move on because the Colts aren't going to give him the extension that he wants, this is their best opportunity to get something of value for him. But Omar Kelly reporting earlier today that this was something that the Dolphins are not desperate to make this move. So they're not going to overpay, and they are not going to offer more than what they are willing to part with. But they're not in a rush. It seems like the Colts are not in a rush, and that this is a situation that may, in fact, continue on through the trade deadline in October, well beyond the Tuesday deadline set by the Indianapolis Colts. So, Brain, the fact that the Dolphins are still engaged in negotiations, what that tells me, though, is that the Dolphins must have some sort of agreement on the framework of a contract that is going to make Jonathan Taylor's camp happy, because otherwise, why would they even continue on in this process?
I tend to agree. They must have, you know, some sort of number, or they just feel like, you know, they'll figure that out. But they wouldn't be in it this deep if they didn't feel like they could sign him. I think they should be playing the hardball situation with the Jonathan Taylor deal, because I think at the end of the day, running back is a luxury, right? Like, you want Jonathan Taylor. I would love to have Jonathan Taylor on the team, but given everything that this team has right now and the cap situation and the players, that, you know, are going into contract years, and the deal that was just signed by Zach Sealer, like, you cannot overpay for the running back. Like, in general, you should never overpay for a running back, but you definitely can't overpay for a running back now, given all of this. So, you know, I'd be interested to know what that deal is. Like, is it just a straight up second round pick? Because that would seem like a pretty good deal. You know, it'd be hard for anybody, you know, even somebody like myself, who's a staunch believer in not really overpaying for running backs, you know, it'd be hard to argue giving up a second round pick and getting an elite running back like Jonathan Taylor, who's in the prime of his career. Of course, you've got the contract situation. And again, this really brings me back to, you know, if you do this deal, then you've got to sign Jonathan Taylor. So now Jonathan Taylor signed, and it's going to be somewhere 12 to 15, 12 to 16, 13 to 17 million, somewhere in that range per year. At that point, that's about the salary that either Robert Hunt or Connor Williams is going to get. And I think when you look at it, Zach Sealer, before this signing from Zach Sealer, we talked about on the last show that there's really, you know, there's Christian Wilkins, and then there's three other guys that the Dolphins have to figure out: Sealer, Robert Hunt, Connor Williams. I think all three of those guys, Sealer, Robert Hunt, and Connor Williams, are all kind of valued right around the same area. So in a way, the Dolphins may have just set the market on what they're willing to pay those guys. And that's probably right in line with what they've got for Jonathan Taylor. So maybe they're looking at it and they're saying, well, if we give Christian Wilkins $23 million, then that's probably one of these other guys that we can't sign. So if we can get the Jonathan Taylor deal done, then we get the Jonathan Taylor deal done. We put this Christian Wilkins thing on the back burner and we kind of figure it out as we go. Maybe we try to trade him, and then, you know, we kind of wait and see what kind of year Bob Hunt and Connor Williams have, and probably try to work out extensions with those guys. And you have four guys getting paid, you know, probably a combined like $55 million a year versus paying one of those guys almost half of that.
Yeah, well, Connor Williams is actively negotiating his price down right now. After
with every snap,
his asking price goes down, because I don't know, that it's getting a little ugly with the over the head snaps.
But then you see what he's doing on the plays where the Dolphins are breaking these big runs, and you see Connor Williams.
It's ridiculous,
and it's just like, all right, just figure out the snapping thing. Because, I mean, obviously, like, the guy had, what, like 607 snaps last year in the shotgun, and maybe like two of them were bad
in the regular season. We're talking high snaps. I know, I've heard somebody say that, well, you know, if Tua wasn't just, you know, 6'1 or whatever it is. Buddy, if Manute Bol was the quarterback for the Dolphins, these snaps are going over his head.
No, they were bad snaps, and he's got to correct
it. Those are bad snaps.
And no doubt about that. Nobody's ever going to argue that. And if Connor Williams wants to be paid as one of the highest paid centers in the league, that can't happen. But, you know, if that happens once or twice a year, but then on every single other play, you're getting elite level play from him, dude's going to get paid.
Yeah. He's going to get paid. And so I would think that the Dolphins clearly have allocated some money. Listen, I mean, the way things stand right now, it seems like based on the reports that are out there, they've got an offer out on the table financially to Christian Wilkins. They've got an offer out on the table financially for Jonathan Taylor. It's just a matter of, in the Taylor case, getting the Colts to agree to a deal. And in the case of Christian Wilkins, getting him to come down to earth with what he's asking for, at least reportedly. But either way, it seems like the Dolphins are actively looking to make the moves that they need to make to build an actual Super Bowl contender here in what is clearly their sort of 2-year window here in 23 and 24.
Now, Can I get your opinion?
You can always get my opinion. That's what I'm here for.
Let's say, because like we're coming up on this deadline. I mean, there's a good chance by the time people listen to this, if you're not watching on YouTube right now, there's a good chance.
Or the I'm a Miami Dolphin fan Facebook page.
That's right. There's a good chance that by the time you listen to this, there's going to be news on the Jonathan Taylor trade or not trade, whatever. And so let's say this trade happens and the Dolphins come to a contract negotiation with Jonathan Taylor. Do you keep that standing offer out there for Christian Wilkins?
I mean.
And you just say, look, we'll figure out what's going to happen with, you know, the offensive line. You'll figure it out at the end of the season. But if Christian Wilkins decides that he wants to take the contract that's out there, then you do it at all costs. Even after spending the money on Sealer, even after spending the money on Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, I think you leave that offer out there until, you know, you probably have a deadline. Maybe that deadline is coming up, right? Maybe that's 2:00 and that deadline comes and goes and that's it, you know? And then the deal is off the table until next offseason or whatever the case may be. You know, if I'm the Dolphins, I think my move is I'm trying to do whatever I can to keep that peace with Christian Wilkins because I need him to be a contributor this season. You know,
and well, I think Christian Wilkins,
I have no doubt that he's going to go out there and he's going to play, right? Because if the Dolphins aren't going to pay him this year, he's going to go out there and do, you know, try to put something down on the field that is going to either motivate them to pay for him or motivate somebody else to give him that big money contract. So,
I mean, if he wants to set the market, there's only one way to do it. If the Dolphins aren't willing him before the season, he's going to have to earn it.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you might take that money off. You might take that offer off of the table if that happens. But, you know, then again, if you're the Dolphins, that's also something that you're very aware of, too, that he could go out there and you take that offer off the table and he could go out there and put up those Pro Bowl numbers this year.
But then you're going to try to trade him anyway, because you're only taking the offer off the table if you basically resigned yourself to you're not going to sign him.
Yeah, I would say that the situation is in terms of Christian Wilkins, the Dolphins really kind of hold all the cards in it in terms of what they want to do. So
You probably keep the offer out there because, I mean, worst case scenario, he takes the offer. Now it's an easier contract to trade.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you keep the offer out there regardless, and you hope that you can sign him, and you hope that, like, you can make it all work with the rest of the guys on your roster. And if you have to let one of your offensive linemen go, then you probably do. But I don't know. The Jonathan Taylor thing, I just, like, again, it's one of those things where it's like, this is a good, if you're getting him for a 2, straight up, like, it's a good deal in a vacuum, but what's the opportunity cost? Do you really want to lose one of your better offensive linemen on an offensive line that already has been very problematic, that's just now getting to the point where you could say it's average?
Well, I think the Jonathan Taylor thing is an indication that there is some underlying, I don't want to say discontent, but there is an underlying desire that the Dolphins have to continue to boost that running back room, because the rumor, you know, it's out there. They sniffed around on DeAndre Swift. They sniffed around on Josh Jacobs. They sniffed around on Dalvin Cook, and now they're actively engaged on Jonathan Taylor. So all of those kind of big name running backs that were going to be out there, the Dolphins were at least sniffing around the situation. Now you could argue, well, you know, every GM's job is to go out there and at least, you know, sniff around and at least find something. But we know that the Dolphins were engaged enough to at least make offers in some of these situations. So I don't know. I think there must be something going on internally, some sort of not unrest, maybe not as strong as discontent, but perhaps dissatisfaction with where things are in that running back room. And as such, that there's a desire to find a way to improve it. And when you have guys out there who are elite guys, and you know that the top dollar that you would have to pay for them is not really that high in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's worth going out and having a little sniff around.
If you could include a player, so if you could include one of these two guys, Cedric Wilson,
who yeah,
you could save like $6 million on the cap.
You're going to probably have to eat some of that contract, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I think if you can do that, then great. If you, mm-hmm, and even better, if you can include, if let's say it's a two and Ogba.
Sure.
If it's a two and Ogba, then granted, you're losing some depth on the defensive line by doing that. But now you've essentially freed up the cap space to give, yep, Jonathan Taylor. And it's at that point, it's like you're basically just giving up a second for him without even really needing to take in the cap ramifications. Sure. So that becomes like a no-brainer if you can manage to do that. So I'm hoping it's something like that. Because you also have to remember, and you know, the last thing I'll say about it, like, we don't have a third round pick next year, and I don't think we have a fourth round pick next year because of the Chubb trade. So if you trade your second and you don't get any draft capital back, like, you got a number one pick, and granted, you could trade down, you could turn that into multiple picks, but you've got a first round pick and then you don't pick again until like the fifth round. And, right, you know, the Dolphins are in a position where they need young players on rookie contracts because that's cheap labor, because they're getting to that point where virtually everybody on their roster is going to be, you know, on a big money deal or having a contract, you know, coming up and looking for a big money deal.
Right. And that all comes back to, The Dolphins are in the phase of the operation that the Dolphins are in right now is throw it all against the wall and figure out what works in 23 and 24, and we'll worry about everything else in 25. And so listen, that's something that you and I have asked for. You know,
we wanted them to take a step back. I don't know that we asked them to just give away all their picks to trade for good players. I didn't agree with the Chubb trade. That was the thing. And, you know, that early on, you know, the jury's still out on that, but Bradley Chubb was not a big difference maker for this team once he came in last year and is on a huge contract, and we gave up a first and a fourth for him. And so we're waiting for the results on that to come in for that to really have been a good value. The Jalen Ramsey trade, whatever, like, that was a great trade. You know, I don't care that he, like, obviously it sucks that he's hurt right now, and you hope that he's going to get back and be, you know, 100% for basically the stretch run of the season, but that was a great trade. I'm not getting on Chris Greer for that, but, you know, just the general idea of like trading away a bunch of picks and giving a bunch of salary to, you know, veteran players. I mean, Tyreek Hill, nobody's sitting here and saying that the Tyreek Hill trade was a bad trade, but when you do it so many times, eventually you put yourself in a position where you've got a bunch of guys that are coming up on contract years, or you've got a bunch of guys that are being paid, you don't have a bunch of cap space, and you don't have a bunch of young players that are cheap labor. And so the Dolphins really need to be mindful of that and walk that tightrope, because you could say, well, like, let's win now. And I'm all for it. Let's win now. But if you're going to do that, you better win. You better get the job done. This right. better not be a 9 or 10 win team that loses in the first round of the playoffs. Our heads are going to roll.
Well, and I think everybody understands that. I would imagine that everybody involved understands that the Dolphins are going, are basically kind of going the LA Rams model right now, which is, we're going to go all in. We're going to bring in some veteran talent. We're going to get rid of our draft capital in order to do that. And we're going all in to win the Super Bowl. And listen, at the end of the day, if the Dolphins win a Super Bowl either this year or next, and then 2025 comes around and they are so bereft of money and picks that we're sitting there and we're looking at a 7-9 team, I'll take it. Because if the Dolphins win a Super Bowl, it's all I've ever wanted.
Yeah, but it's not the first. I mean, granted, the Dolphins are better positioned now from just purely a talent perspective on the roster than I think they've been at any point in the last 30 years.
Yeah. I would agree far and away.
I think that's where they're at right now. So I think it's prudent to say win now. But it's also not the first time that we've seen the Dolphins go into win now mode. And so we know what it looks like when it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's true too. We absolutely do. But, you know, needless to say, that's where the Dolphins are at right now. And listen, we need to have a little conversation about the end of this preseason and the beginning of cuts, which have happened, because we're moving on. We do need to talk about the talent that is on the roster right now. But before we do that, a brief word from our friends at Caldera Lab. Gentlemen, we all know that first impressions matter. And if you're not taking care of your skin, that's going to be the first thing someone notices and instantly either thinks you're way older than you are, or you just don't care about your appearance. Show them that you do and make a great first impression with Caldera Lab. Listen, you're going to brush your teeth every day. Incorporating skincare steps before it guarantees to mess up your routine, leaving your breath fresh, your face refreshed. So it's perfect. You can brush your teeth and reinforce your face. Caldera Lab creates high-performance men's skincare products, and the regimen leads off their product lineup, a twice-a-day routine to transform your skin. The regimen includes three products, the Clean Slate, the Base Layer, and the Good. The Clean Slate starts and ends your day with it's a face wash that leaves all skin types refreshed. The Base Layer is your daily moisturizer to hydrate your skin and jumpstart your day full of confidence. And the Good is your go-to multifunctional serum at night that helps your skin look tighter and smoother. There's one thing we all want our skin to do. It's be tighter and smoother, as well as help reduce the visibility of wrinkles and fine lines. Every drop of the serum is packed with 3.4 million antioxidant units protecting your skin. We all want the protection of 3.4 million antioxidant units. So here's what we're going to do just for our audience. It's the best offer available anywhere. You go to calderalab.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and you're going to get 20% off right now. That's 20% off with the promo code DolphinsTalk at Caldera Lab. That's CalderaLab.com, and make unforgettable first impressions that lead to those charming words, "Hey, you look younger." How about that? Brain, you look younger. Oh, you've been using your Caldera Lab?
I have every day in the morning. You know, I do the wash, and then, you know, you get the little, you know, the under eye cream, and then you put on your base layer, and then before you put on like your sunscreen if you're going to go outside. And then at night, after I take my evening shower, where I use the wash in the shower, I put the under eye cream on again, and then you put on that serum, and you know, skin's looking as moisturized, and I've got problem skin. And you, if you're watching on YouTube, you're like, "You kidding me? This guy is the face. this is what you're using."
Hold on.
Caldera Lab.
There we go. We'll put you on a big screen.
The thing is, You might not know this from looking at me, but I'm actually 67 years old. And, you know, Caldera Lab has me looking like I'm damn near 40.
Thank you, Caldera Lab. What a testament. What a testimony from Aaron the Brain. Brain, the Dolphins concluded their preseason. They lost 31-18 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we're now to cut down day. It was a pretty awful game. I thought the offense looked good on the opening drive, with the exception of, you know, Connor Williams snapping the ball over to his head. I thought they looked good on the following drive as well. So the first string offense looks like it's cooking pretty good. Again, Savon Ahmed again making the case to make this team. Jeff Wilson didn't play. I think he's dealing with a hand injury, but Raheem Mostert also looked good. And then Chris Brooks came in and looked good. But my other takeaways from this game, Skylar Thompson, woof. Skylar Thompson, Mike White was in the concussion protocol, so he didn't dress for this game. And he may have solidified the number two quarterback spot in this game because of how badly Skylar played. It was a mess. Other things of note in this game, of course, the biggest thing for this game is that the game ended 8 minutes early because Daywood Davis suffered a pretty scary looking injury that we now know he was discharged from hospital. He did have motion. He did have feeling in all of his extremities. He did have, he was conscious, and we know now that he's in the concussion protocol. So, luckily he avoided any kind of serious injury, but it was a pretty scary scene, so they decided to end the game early, a decision that was the correct decision, and I am not interested in any arguments in opposition to that. But looks like he's going to be at least okay in the long term. But other takeaways there were, man, Elijah Campbell suffered a serious knee injury that may keep him out for well into the season. They say it's not an ACL injury, but it is a knee injury that may cause him to miss most, if not all, of the season. So those are the big takeaways from that game. Other than the fact that, Brain, is Chris Brooks going to make this team?
I mean, we'll see what happens with Jonathan Taylor. That's the first domino. But I think it's going to be hard for Chris Brooks to make the team on the 53. And the question is, has he played too well for him to be safe on the practice squad? Because, so here's what we know. We know Raheem Mostert is going to make this roster. We know Alec Ingold is going to make this roster. I think we know that Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to make the roster, but I don't know. Maybe that's the guy that gets left off for Chris Brooks. I would have a hard
time. I think that's Myles Gaskin.
Well, no, I don't think Myles Gaskin is making the roster.
I don't think so
either. Myles Gaskin is somebody that the Dolphins will probably put on the, if they don't just cut him outright, they'll probably try to put him on the practice squad, and he'll probably get picked up because this guy's got a lot of, playing experience. Has been like he's a solid bottom of the roster running back, solid depth piece for a lot of running back rooms. You're not going to pay him $1 million to be your fifth running back. It's just not going to happen. So like Myles Gaskin is not going to make this roster. So the question really comes down to, first off, what happens with Jonathan Taylor? Because if Jonathan Taylor is here, then you're probably not that worried about the back end. You probably still ask the question, but it probably comes down to Jeff Wilson, Savon Ahmed, Chris Brooks, pick two out of the three. And I think most people, even though they'd like to keep Chris Brooks, would probably say, well, give me Ahmed and give me Wilson, because we know what those guys can bring. But Chris Brooks is making a really strong case for himself. I'd love to keep him on the practice squad. But this might be a situation where if you put him on the practice squad, somebody picks him up. Savon Ahmed is a guy that we managed to keep on the practice squad for a lot last year. Can you get away with putting Savon Ahmed back on the practice squad? I don't know. It's a good problem to have for all the talk about how bad this Dolphins running back room is and how bad they need Jonathan Taylor. They certainly seem like they have a decent amount of depth there. I don't think that they're as bereft as people think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, it seems like the Dolphins are too, which is why I think they are not, you're not going to see them overpay for Jonathan Taylor, because I think they are at least comfortable with the running back room that they have. The Dolphins did begin the cut downs today. And here were the cuts. They have so far released tackle Jerron Christian, wide receiver Kiki Kuti, linebacker AJ Johnson, linebacker Mitchell Agudé, quarterback James Blackman, who got a little cameo late in the game against Jacksonville, defensive tackle Josiah Bronson, defensive end Randy Charlton, wide receiver Chris Coleman, linebacker Aubrey Miller II, linebacker Garrett Nelson. Bye-bye, Big John offered all energy. I would expect him to end up on the practice squad, actually. Safety Kedron Smith, tackle James Tunstall, defensive tackle Jalen Twyman, and defensive tackle Jamal Woods. There was also a report that the Dolphins also released Malik Reed today, although when the Dolphins put out their official release listing the players who have been released, Malik Reed not on that list. So I'm not sure what that means. I think there's some indication that the Dolphins are moving on from Malik Reed, but maybe it's not a clean situation. But regardless, that's where the Dolphins are. So I think that leaves us with some questions about what those bottom of the roster guys are going to be at some of those positions. I think it's safe to say at this point, it would be surprising to me if the Dolphins didn't go into the season with Tua, Mike White, and Skylar Thompson all on the active roster. I think unless the Dolphins, you know, plan to release Skylar Thompson and bring in another third quarterback, to me, it would be surprising if they didn't have all three. Just knowing what you know about Tua's injury history, it makes sense to have that backup in the roster. The running back room we've addressed already. Wide receiver is an interesting one, Brain, because you've got a lot of talent there, and not all those guys are going to make the team. So wide receiver, what do you think, Brain? Obviously, you got Tyreek Hill. Obviously, you've got Jaylen Waddle. Obviously, you've got Braxton Berrios. Is there another wide receiver that you feel is absolutely probably Ezukama?
I think Ezukama is a lock.
Cedric Wilson, just based on the side of his contract.
And I think unless Cedric Wilson is being included in a trade, I think he's a lock too. And so you've got five already. And so you can make the argument that they're not even going to keep a sixth wide receiver. But if they do keep a sixth, I think it's going to be River Craycraft, because I think when you look at every position, save for quarterback, when you look at the last guy on the depth chart at that position, they're going to need to play special teams. You're going to need to get something out of them from a special team standpoint. And I think that becomes the conversation when you look at tight end and you look at edge and you look at linebacker, when you look at defensive backs, like these guys that are going to make it at the bottom of this roster, they're going to have to be able to provide you with something on special teams. And that's where I think Craycraft has the edge over Robbie Chosen. So if they do keep a sixth wide receiver, and I think that they will, then I think it will be River Craycraft. But like maybe they don't. Maybe they keep an extra running back. Maybe they keep another tight end. Maybe it's an extra, you know, because you're also keep it under the assumption that you're keeping three quarterbacks, like the numbers game at some point, like how many of these guys do you keep? But I think if you're going to keep a sixth, it's going to be River Craycraft, because you also have like who's going to be the last tight end to make this roster? Is it going to be Julian Hill? Is it going to be Elijah Higgins? Elijah Higgins played wide receiver in college. Julian Hill is kind of in that same ilk. Yeah. You know, as basically like a big wide receiver. And so maybe you can afford to just do that. And maybe you throw, you know, either River Craycraft or Robbie Chosen on the practice squad.
Yeah, you could do that. They've got that veteran allowance for the practice squad now. What about the offensive line, Bryn? How are you feeling about that?
Well, I feel good about the top six.
Really? You know. That's an improvement.
Well, I'm not going to go to bat real hard for Austin Jackson over some preseason games, but the guys look pretty good. Like he's looked pretty good. And like the rest of your starting offensive line, you have to feel good about. Like you have to feel good about Teron Armstead. Isaiah Wynn is an upgrade over Liam Eichenberg, and I think he's looked fine. Connor Williams, like the snaps aside, you know, the occasional bad snap aside, is played at an elite level. Robert Hunt was damn near played at a Pro Bowl level last year, but probably just didn't make it because of, the reputation of the Dolphins offensive line as a whole. So if that's your starting five, I think it's a pretty good starting five. Kendall Lamb looks like he's holding down that swing tackle position pretty well. I just think it gets kind of murky after that because, you know, I have no faith in Liam Eichenberg.
None.
Robert Jones, I think, is a serviceable offensive lineman, but, you know, is hurt. And so that's questionable, at least going into the season.
We don't know when he's going to be back, right?
And then I should say I feel good about our top seven because the guy that I'm missing, of course, is Mr. Feeney.
We love this is a pro Mr. Feeney podcast.
Yeah. So I feel good about our top seven. There he is. What a combo. That mustache and mullet combo. I mean, wow.
This is a pro Dan Feeney podcast.
I feel good about that top seven. I think Robert Jones is going to make the roster. And I think they're going to keep nine because you're going to have Liam Eichenberg on the team just because of the guaranteed money.
Yeah, you always need somebody to bring the coaches their Gatorade. It's very important. And Liam Eichenberg can serve that purpose. On the defensive side of the ball, obviously, we feel pretty good about that defensive front. I'm interested to see where we end with some of those numbers. I guess the real sort of intrigue on the defensive side of the ball is the secondary and what they decide to do back there.
I actually think the intrigue is what they're going to do on the interior of the defensive line. We spent the vast majority of our show about talking about, you know, how great Christian Wilkins is, how great Zach Sealer is. We haven't really talked about Raekwon Davis, but he's had supposedly a very good camp. But then after that, there's a significant drop. And I don't know that there's an NFL caliber player after those three. And so you might need one, if not two guys, to come in to upgrade what you have there in depth. I don't think that there's anybody else on the interior of that defensive line that should really feel secure in a roster spot on the 53.
Well, we'll see where the Dolphins end up on that as this our episode is going to come out in podcast form late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. Hopefully everybody gives it a listen before the cuts start coming in thick and fast during the day on Tuesday. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. Is there anybody, you know, Brain, that you think is a bubble guy that you'd really like to see make the team? Brandon Peely, I think, is one of those guys that I think a lot of people are hoping makes the team. And he's a guy that if Malik Reed doesn't make the team, is maybe that's the door opening for Peely to make this roster. Deshaun Hand is Franklin Stubbs mentions in the chat. I like him. I also like Deshaun Elliott quite a bit this way. I think the Dolphins in the Deshaun category, I think the Dolphins have picked up the right Deshauns. I'll just say that.
Well, I think that with, you know, Brandon Jones being healthy, I think with Elijah Campbell going down, it opens the door for another safety.
It'll be actually very interesting to see what the Dolphins do with Elijah Campbell, because if they put him on IR before the 53-man roster cut down happens, he's done for the year. However, if he makes the 53-man roster and then goes on IR, they can elevate him off of IR later.
There's going to be, and there could be finagling. So, I mean,
there's going to be all kinds of roster
shenanigans
throughout this week.
The initial 53 doesn't really, the initial 53 doesn't really matter. But I think his going down, I think, opens the door for Verone McKinley. I think it opens the door for Trill Williams. I really would like to see Trill Williams make this roster. I think there was a lot of excitement about him last season, and it was really rough to see him go down in the first preseason game last year. And he's battled so hard just to get back to, you know, being a full go at practice. We haven't really seen him out there. I know he got out there a little bit on special teams in this last preseason game. But I would like to see Trill Williams make this roster because I think there's a ceiling there. And I think this is a guy that is that can play special teams for you. And I'm going to throw another name out there that I played really well for us last year, not only on special teams, but also when thrown in an impossible situation where he had to play, basically start at cornerback for this team last year. And that's Justin Bethel. Played really well on special teams, did a serviceable job when called upon to play at cornerback. I don't think there's any way in hell Keon Crossan is making this team because I don't think you're paying him $3 million. I think a lot of talk for like the third year in a row has been about how good a camp Noah Igbinoghene has had, but every single time he's on the field, we're watching him in good position defensively, but not getting his head turned around, not making a play on the ball, and giving up a big play.
And Can I make a comparison? My son is 6 years old, okay? And he's in a baseball league in the summertime. He plays baseball. And he is working really hard, you know. And when you see him out there in the field, he is in that ready position, and he is ready to make the play. He is ready. And then the batter hits the ball, and the ball comes rolling towards my son, and my son is in that ready position, ready to make that play. But that's it. And that's kind of Noah Igbinoghene. Noah Igbinoghene seems to always be right in position to make the play, and then never makes the play. And, you know, he's not always getting burnt to a crisp like he was, you know, early on, but he's still, you know, he's not finishing the process of breaking up a play the way that you need your cornerback to do that. So that's it. So the comparison is Noah Igbinoghene is to cornerback as my 6-year-old son is to third base.
Yeah, I just think we've seen enough of it. For Noah, like, you know who he is. Like, I don't know how long you're going to sit here and wait for him. I think there are other viable options that have shown you more. I know he's got great athleticism and great size, but at the end of the day, the guy just isn't making the plays. And so I think it's time to move on and give somebody another shot there. We'll see. I would be okay with Trill Williams being the last cornerback on the roster and Verone McKinley being the last safety on the roster and Noah Igbinoghene playing elsewhere this season.
Yes, I would be fine with that as well. And I think that's a pretty good place to leave it because we've been going, we went long on this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. But there was lots to talk about, and, you know, hopefully all of it is still relevant when you're listening on Tuesday morning, if you're listening to this in podcast form, because obviously long way to go here. Lots still up in the air as we are live here on Monday night. Again, a reminder, if you haven't done so already, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. And listen, like this video on YouTube. Go ahead and smash the like button right now. I know you're out there watching. Just go ahead and click that thumbs up button. We appreciate it very much. Subscribe to the channel. We'd like that too. All kinds of fun stuff coming up for you this season on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. If you haven't checked out Mike's interview with Zig Fercassi of SiriusXM Radio, we advise you to check that over at dolphinstalk.com. Subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate that. And stay tuned with us all season long. Oh, by the way, I haven't done this plug. I'm also on Blue Sky. So if you have gotten the invite code over at Blue Sky, come and give me a follow at Amplified to Rock over there as well. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. So lots of stuff going to be happening this week. We'll have you covered here at the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. So make sure that you are following along because lots of good stuff coming. So that's going to wrap us up for this time. Thanks as always for joining us. And as always, take care of yourselves and each other. We will talk to you again next time. Bye-bye, everybody. Go Dolphins!
Skylar Thompson was back to garlic bagel with strawberry cream cheese.